Exodus 17, verse 8 through 13 is going to be my main text. If you have your Bibles. Okay, I want to preach tonight a sermon I've entitled Prevailing Prayer. This was inspired a while ago when I was listening to a testimony and came up again when the past outreach to Matt's in Syracuse. And so I want to talk about prayer in spiritual warfare and use an illustration, an example from the Bible for this. And so as a way of illustration, I was reading or listening on YouTube, a guy that's really all across YouTube. His name's John Ramirez. John Ramirez is a man of God. And from the age of 8, well, first of all, this is a guy that you'll listen to his testimony, a guy who you will look at and you'll say, if this guy can be saved, anybody can be saved. He's one of these types of guys. And so, from the age of 8 years old until his mid-30s, John Ramirez was born into this. He was a Satanist and completely against God. He knew that Jesus was real. He knew the devil was real. He chose to fully sell out to the devil and do his will. And this man would do a replica of what we do in church. They would have demonic baptism. They would have demonic speaking in tongues, a lot of different things, all mimicking the church of God. He would put diseases on people, the spirit of sickness, the spirit of homosexuality in towns where he was living. This man would sacrifice animals, and he would put, again, the sicknesses on people and torments on people. And while listening to his testimony, he said that he would astral project, meaning come out of your body, and he would go over neighborhoods, and he would actually curse the neighborhood. And he would actually speak, he would actually attack Christians. He would target Christians who he knew were weak Christians, Christians that allowed doors opened in their lives into the spiritual realm so that he can get in there and cause them to drop out of the will of God. And he mentioned in his testimony very quickly something that stood out to me when he was talking. He said that when one time that he was actually projecting over a neighborhood, going over the neighborhood to curse it, he said that his plans to curse that neighborhood completely were destroyed. And that is because there were Christians in that neighborhood who knew how to pray. And so that encouraged me because we are Christians, we are children of God, and when we understand the authority that we have as children of God, when we understand that Jesus Christ, the day of the cross, completely victorious, the day of God's redemption, complete, that day of victory, when we are in Christ, we stand in that authority. And when we pray in the authority of God, when we get God involved in our lives, in our situations, in our circumstances of life, we need to understand we are praying with power. And we can stand right here in this place. I can stand right here and I can cast down strongholds over Rochester, New York. Curses, strategies from hell. These men that are into witchcraft doing this, working completely sold out for the devil and trying to put these spiritual bondages over our towns, our cities. We can cast those down because we have authority as children of God. So I want to read to you our main text, this scripture out of Exodus. And these are God's children. This is Israel. They're fighting against the enemy, okay? So this sermon is going to be about the reality of warfare, all right? So let's read our main text. It says, "Now Amalek came and fought with Israel in Rephidim, and Moses said to Joshua, 'Choose us some men and go out, fight with Amalek.'" Amalek's the enemy. Children of God are fighting with Amalek. "Moses says, 'Tomorrow I will stand on top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand.' So Joshua did as Moses said to him and fought with Amalek," who's the enemy. "And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill, and so it was when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. When he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands became heavy, so they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. And Aaron and Hur supported his hands, one on one side and the other on the other side. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. So Joshua defeated Amalek," who's the enemy, "and his people with the edge of the sword." God's people won this battle, won they chose to get God involved. So let's talk firstly tonight about the reality of warfare. And I want to talk because in living for God, it involves reality, or it involves warfare with an enemy. We all know that there's an enemy of our soul, the devil. His plan is to kill, steal, and destroy anything that we try to do, destroy our lives and cause us to be hindered in anything that we try to do for God. And so we need to understand, just because we are God's people, that doesn't mean the enemy won't try to bring things against us. Verse 8 of our text says, "Now Amalek came and fought with Israel and Rephidim." The enemy came against God's children. So the Israelites were never attacked while slaves, but now they face opposition. In our lives as sinners, when we were living in our sin, the enemy would actually help us. The devil would actually help us to do his will. John Ramirez would actually get orders from the devil and fulfill those orders from him. He was completely helped by the enemy to do his will. But now that we are saved, the enemy works against us, opposing us in what we do for God. And this world is no help with it. With that, this world wants us to adapt to what's normal, to its standards, what's completely normal. I was at my grandmother's house last night, bless her heart, and I was at my grandmother's, and the TV, she's always playing the TV all day long. The TV's on, and I seen this commercial on the news come up, and it's this woman, and I don't know what her name was, but she was for abortion, and she was just on there smiling and just saying, "I will protect your rights. I will be for you, your decision to have an abortion." And I'm just standing in front of the TV shaking my head like, wow, the deception over these people's lives, the stronghold, the demonic influence in people's lives to really be convinced that that is something that's okay. The enemy wants us to indulge in worldly pleasures, and when we cooperate, we make ourselves prone to demonic influences, letting things in to our lives to open up doors as a result of from getting into worldly pleasures. And this war all takes place in the spiritual realm. Every warfare takes place in the spiritual. And in Ephesians, in the book of Ephesians, in the Bible, it exposes the reality that there are forces against us, and their main priority is to oppose us in everything that we try to do for God. In Ephesians 6, verse 12, it says, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places." There are spiritual forces that war against us, trying to take us out of the will of God, trying to discourage, bring doubt into our lives, all intending to destroy the will of God for our lives. And me personally, a story I want to share is when I remember when I made the decision to step out and lead the evangelism team. I remember that as I stepped out and started leading outreach, the assault started to pick up. And I recognized that as we're on outreach, I'm just recognizing, okay, that there's some warfare that's occurring, that's happening right now, because I made a decision to step out in the will of God. And I remember, you know, I'm on outreach, and I remember I look down, and I'm wearing a Target on my shirt. I don't even work at Target. And I'm like, I don't even shop at Target. I'm an Aldi's or a Walmart guy. I don't even shop at Target. And I'm like, okay, I realize now I've stepped out. I'm a bigger target to the enemy now that I've stepped out, made a decision to live for God. So whatever ministry you lead or are involved in, outreach, the worship team, Rock 180, involved in a Rock 180, leading a Rock 180, drama team, if you're preaching, leading a play, in a play, you're doing something for God. You're doing something that's going to go towards the salvation of souls. That's why we have so much opposition, so much spiritual warfare during the haunted house time, because hundreds of people are confronted with the gospel message to make a decision. And so that's why the enemy wages war against that. We're a bigger target. And that's why praying That's why prayer is so necessary and important to one's salvation, to the Christian life. Prayer, it should be mandatory. I remember when I was into witchcraft, into the occult, I remember saying these words when I was full out into this, completely deceived and into the occult. I remember I said, meditation has to be like brushing your teeth. It has to be mandatory every single day of your life. I was that committed to it. And I said, if I'm really going to experience the spiritual realm, then I need to do this and practice this every single day. And now that I am saved and a Christian, I have that same conviction that praying, that prayer, having a prayer life, a communication life with God, should be a mandatory thing, kind of like brushing my teeth. And if you don't brush your teeth, God bless you, but you should. It should be mandatory in the Christian life. The devil, he tries to bring a lot of different assaults to us in all numerous types of ways. Temptations to sin, to compromise, relational conflicts. Uses condemnation, doubts, distractions, discouragement. He accuses us, uses our flaws. He causes fights in our lives. And we are not ignorant to his devices. They are nothing new. There's nothing new that he uses. They are the same and same over centuries, decades of time, these things that he uses against people. And I don't mention any of this to discourage anybody, but my goal in mentioning all of this is to expose the spiritual forces that wage war against us so that we can understand that there's a reality of warfare. But we're going to talk a little bit about wanting, and I want everybody here to know that ultimately we have the victory. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. It's unquestionable, undebatable. We have the victory if we are in Christ and living for God. And therefore, when we pray, power is released to overcome the enemy who's against us. We did a Bible study before the most recent one we did. We did a Bible study last year called The Overcoming Life by Jimmy Evans. And we talked about some things that the devil would bring against us. We specifically, in each chapter, we talked about discouragement. And in that chapter, we exposed discouragement and destroyed discouragement. And the next chapter was doubt, regrets, and so on in this Bible study. And it was all kind of out of the same one scripture. And that scripture was 1 John 5 and verse 4. And this scripture right here tells us that we are absolutely overcomers. It says, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. We as the children of God are overcomers. And we have the victory, and we need to respond like we know that we know that we know we have the victory. That has to go from here to in here, that we absolutely have the victory. And therefore, when we pray in a standpoint of authority and dominion from God, because Christ's presence, Christ lives in us, and his presence is with us continually. And when we pray, God hears every prayer. Nothing goes in vain. So let's talk secondly tonight, responding to attacks, because your counterpunch is very important. The question isn't will you be attacked, but how will you respond? What's your response? When you're assaulted, when you're going through a financial trial, something's happening in your life, conflict and relationship, what's your response and how are you going to deal with it? There are incorrect ways that people respond to attacks. All the practical things that you think go into a Christian's life, such as going to church, praying, communicating with God, reading the Word of God, continually making a habit, making a mandatory practice of reading the Word of God, and witnessing to people, hanging out with brothers and sisters, all the practical things that are part of Christian life. The wrong response would be to do the opposite of all that, right? There's people, when the heat turns up, the attacks come, they respond by not coming to church anymore. They respond by not praying to God, not surrendering. They respond by actually turning to the pleasures of this world or turning to this world for help. During financial attacks, not tithing anymore, staying home and hiding or isolating themselves from brothers and sisters, choosing themselves to drop out of a ministry as a response to an assault, and no longer telling others about Jesus. These are all wrong responses. Many will compromise who have a grass is greener on the other side point of view, meaning they're only looking at their field, they're only looking inward instead, they're looking at themselves, but they're also comparing themselves to their neighbor. The grass is greener over there. I'm going through this, this, and that, but they're being blessed over there. That can cause envy. That can cause deep-rooted things that you don't want in your heart to grow there. In the Bible, God told Cain that sin is at the door, wanting to control him. Genesis 4, verse 7, it says, "You will be accepted if you do what is right, but if you refuse to do what is right, then watch out. Sin is crouching at the door, eager to control you, but you must subdue it and be its master." Choosing to not be involved as much does not mean it will get easier. I heard before, I forget what music group it was, but it was a music group that's kind of up there with like Hillsong and the other big music groups that we hear about in the Christian world. And I remember one of the lead singers or one of the guitar players or drummer, somebody in the band, he mentioned that he is backing from his faith. He's backing from his faith, and his reasoning for that was, "I just don't want to be attacked anymore. I don't want the assaults anymore." But the thing is, the devil, he doesn't want you to just back out, not be involved. He wants to control us. It's about control. It's about complete control, not just backing off and not being involved as much as we were in order to negotiate if he would have stopped his attack if we back out, because it's a control thing. Many respond by seeking only worldly wisdom and end up fighting a spiritual battle with worldly weapons. 2 Corinthians 10 verse 4 says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds." Spiritual battles in the Christian life are real. And it's crucial to be trained and know how to react and engage in the battles that come towards us. Exodus 17, verse 9 of our text, "And Moses said to Joshua, 'Choose us some men and go out. Fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand.'" The fight's inevitable. It will come. Moses gives us an example of knowing what to do. Okay, Moses, the attack's happening. Okay, the children of God, Israel is fighting with the enemy Amalek. What's Moses' response? Moses' response, get God involved. He gives us that example. So they go to the top of the hill and get God involved. Respond by going to God in prayer and being persistent in prayer. Exodus 17 verse 10, the next verse says, "So Joshua did as Moses said to him and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill." They decided to get God involved. And we do the same exact thing when we engage in prayer, when we respond by getting God involved in our lives. I can't wrap my head around when people are going through an assault and their first reaction is not to bring it to God, not to go to God with that assault, whatever it is they're going through. Because we take authority when we engage in prayer, when we get God involved, and we actually take that step to engage in prayer. Exodus 17, verse 9 again, it says, "And Moses said to Joshua, 'Choose us some men and go out, fight with Amalek. Tomorrow, I will stand on top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand.'" The rod was a symbol of authority, and we have that rod. We have that authority. Luke 10, verse 19 says, "Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy." How much is all? All is, there's nothing but that. That's all. All power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Our response when we are attacked should be prayer. And holding up our rods and exercising the authority that's been given to us, we need to understand that we need to be assured of that authority. If I told you what's 2 plus 2 equal? Equals 4, right? Everybody in this room knows that. 2 plus 2 absolutely equals 4. There's no debate, no question about that. If I were to tell you as much as 2 plus 2 equals 4, as much as you are assured of that, is as much as the power you have over the devil, over the enemy. And when you choose to pray against him and exercise that authority, exercise that power as a child of God, the enemy knows he has to obey, because he does not want you to understand that. He does not want a child of God to understand their identity in Christ. He does not want a child of God to understand the authority that they walk in. And so we have that authority, and God gives us that revelation through his word that we absolutely have that power available to access in our lives. Exodus 17, verse 11, it said, "And so it was when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed." When his hands were lifted up, God's people prevailed. Okay, this is a picture of prayer. When his hands were let down, the enemy prevailed. It wasn't the number in their army. It wasn't their weapons. Okay, it wasn't what was happening. Or it wasn't their human wisdom. It wasn't their human strength. But it was what was happening on the mountaintop that caused their victory. This scripture tells us that there's supernatural power available to us as the children of God. So let's talk lastly tonight about prevailing power. Okay, because supernatural power was released when Moses held up his hand because God got involved. Exodus 17, verse 11, "And so it was when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed." Clearly, there's no natural connection there. It's a supernatural connection. There's nothing physical that's going on that mountaintop. It's all spiritual. Held up his hands, God's people started to prevail. Held down his hands, God's people started to not prevail. It's clearly a spiritual connection that's going on. So what happened or took place on that mountaintop determined the results on the battlefield. Again, it's not Israel's victory. It had nothing to do with a genius strategy. It had nothing to do with better weapons, more skilled fighters, a larger army. It had everything to do with their connection to God in prayer. And therefore, or because of that, it would release supernatural power from God to get involved in their lives. And I totally believe getting God involved in our lives is the best response when we are facing an assault from hell against our lives. But God gives us authority to speak to that assault in the name of Jesus Christ and command it to stop. And that has to obey. And that's an exercise that we should adopt into our lives. God has created us with faith. Faith in the Bible is likened to a shield. Ephesians 6 and verse 16 says, Ephesians 6 talks about spiritual warfare. This is where spiritual warfare is exposed. And this is one of my favorite books or chapters in the Bible. And it says that faith is likened to a shield. It says, "Above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one." That word quench, the word quench in that scripture, it means to put out. Okay, it's like the devil, he throws fiery arrows at us. It's like we're taking a fire extinguisher and we are completely extinguishing that fiery dart that's thrown against us. That's what faith is, taking up that shield when we choose to trust in God, when we choose to believe him for what he said that he would do. When we do that, we quench the fiery darts of the wicked one when he brings those assaults against us. Faith is believing God will do what he said in his word that he will do. That's faith. Faith is a language that we should speak in the midst of a battle. Faith says, "God, I put my trust in you." That's what faith says. It's an "even though I will" attitude. Even though this and this is happening, even though there's a financial crisis, I'm struggling, rent's due, even though I will trust in you because I've seen you move in my life in this situation before, or I've heard a story or testimony of you moving in their lives, God, and you don't love them more than me, and vice versa, and so I know he will move in my situation if I choose to exercise faith. Some people, the reason why the enemy may seem to prevail is because they've let their prayer life go. Exodus 17, verse 11, "And so it was when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed, and when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed." At times we can get weary and let down our prayer lives if we don't see the results that we want to see in our time schedule. So therefore, it's important to persevere in these times and know that our prayers to God are not in vain. There's times that I personally come to prayer. I get in my car, drive all 15 minutes here, and I sit down, don't say a word. And I'm like, why did I even come? Prayer, it doesn't just have to be you just talking all the time. It can be you spending time with God, just spending at your home, spending time with God. Setting apart some time. Don't plan on doing chores while you're and praying. Setting a time aside, whether that's a half hour, 20 minutes, a half hour, and just focusing your mind on God, whether that's speaking to Him, communicating with Him, or just sitting there and letting say, God, if you got anything to say to me, I'm just going to sit here and I'm going to be open ears. And so I lost my spot. All right, our text tells us, wait, hang on. Our text tells us that in spiritual battles of life, we need fellow believers who will help us in praying. And that's what Moses had, Exodus 17, verse 12. But Moses' hands became weary, or Moses' hands became heavy. And so they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. And Aaron and Hur supported his hands, one on one side and the other on the other side. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. There's great benefit to having brothers and sisters praying for you and with you, and they can be a big benefit for you getting free and prevailing in prayer. Proverbs 17, verse 17 says, a friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. And this, Moses, in this text, gives us a great example of that, getting brothers and sisters involved in praying for us for the victory whenever we're going through a storm or a battle. And I close tonight with this. The Word of God gives us assurance that prayer brings God's power to bear in our battles, and we can't have the victory. We absolutely already do have the victory, but as we all know, the enemy still is on earth and tries to fight us in the spiritual realm. But we have the victory already, and so when we take our battles to God in prayer, we demonstrate faith. Okay, that's a language. We choose to respond by exercising faith. We choose to counterattack or counterpunch the enemy by responding, by taking the situation to God. And those who pray believe in God, and faith triggers supernatural help that we need. The Bible says the effectual, fervent prayer avails much. Prayer is what unlocked the supernatural power of God to free Peter from prison. Prayer is what triggered the Red Sea miracle. Prayer is what triggered Israel's victory in this battle. Prayer brings victories, and God wants us to live victorious lives as His children. Exodus 17, verse 13. So Joshua defeated Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. They defeated the enemy simply because of what happened on that mountain. They got God involved. God's people were victorious. God was on their side because they asked for help. We too, as children of God, have the same access to a loving God that we can bring our situations, our circumstances to Him so that He can get involved in our lives. And so, I like every head bowed, every eye closed. Now, if you're here tonight and you are not in relationship with Jesus Christ, maybe you've been invited out, maybe you're struggling in your faith, things of this world, the enemy, the lies of this world, the flesh has tugged on your heart and pulled you away and caused you to fall into sin, to stray away from God. I want to tell you that God loves every single person. You are His creation, created in His image. He has a plan for you to restore you. He wants to open the eyes of your understanding to understand the authority that you stand in, that you walk in, and that you have access to. But The decision has to be made first, and that is the decision, are you going to live for the world or are you going to live for Jesus Christ? And this world has many pleasures that it gives you, temporary pleasures, but in the end it leads to destruction. But Jesus Christ came to this earth 2,000 years ago, and He died a sinner's death. He was a sinless man, therefore He qualified to be the sacrifice for our sin. And He died upon the cross, shedding His precious blood, so that blood could wash us clean, wash our conscience clean, wash our hearts clean, and purify us and make us right in standing before God. Because one day we will all stand before a holy God, just you and Him, nobody else, no family, no friends. It will be just you and God. And there will be an account for your life here that you lived on this earth. But He wants to accept you, arms wide open. He wants to love you. But it all comes down to your decision. Because He's a righteous God, He must judge sin. So if you live a life of sin, that's going to lead you to hell, which is eternally separated from God. But God did not design hell for us. He wants us to have a relationship with Him. His arms are wide open, ready to receive us out of the world, to give us a new identity. You are a new creation in Christ when you live and come to Christ. And I want to make a call with every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here tonight, you want that. You want to be forgiven of all your sin, washed clean in the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm going to ask you to signify that to God with an uplifted hand. Put it up, put it right back down. Very quickly, all across this room. How many would there be? Maybe you're backslidden, you walked with God, you grew up a church kid, but you strayed away, you let the tug of this world pull on your heart. But you want to rededicate your life, make a decision. God, I want to turn away from all that and live for You. Lift up your hand. Put it right back down very quickly. Praise God. Christians, it's important to, when reading daily in your Bible, to understand when God tells us a promise or something about the authority, the identity, who you are, who God says you are. You're not who you say you are. You're who God says you are. And so you need to accept that and walk in that authority, that dominion that Jesus said that we walk in. Because there's an enemy who wages war against our soul, but we need to understand that. And if we truly understand that, we will pick up our sword and we will use it, and we will take up the shield and exercise it, and we will prevail against the enemy. We will cast down strongholds over our city, things that the enemy tries to wage war against us. I'm going to open these altars. Let's come up and pray. I'm going to sing a song. Everybody else can stand. Yes, the outer courts. Jesus, we need You, God. I pray over the city of Rochester, New York, God, Your Spirit to reign in this place. Jesus, we need You, God. Desperately in this city, God. We cast down the strongholds and the strategies of hell in the name of Jesus Christ. We take dominion over every single strategy over our city. We plead the blood of Jesus against every single demonic force, stronghold, fortress against our souls. Father God, have Your way in our hearts and our lives, God. I loose encouragement right now in our congregation in the name of Jesus Christ, God. We need You. God, we need You desperately to move in our city, to move in our congregation. Open our eyes to see You, to hear You. Stir our hearts to pray, to tell people about You, God. Purify, sanctify us, God. Draw us close to You, to hear Your word, God. I pray that Your Holy Spirit prevail in each and every single one of us, God. I pray by the blood of Jesus, a hedge around my brothers and sisters here, God, that You would protect us, seal us. In Your blood, Jesus, have Your way in our hearts. Reign in our hearts, God. Give us the mind of Christ, the heart of Christ, God. Help us to see people how You see people. In Jesus' name. Let's give God praise. Oh, Jesus, we thank You for who You are, God, for what You do, God. I praise your mighty name, Jesus. We thank you for the authority, the dominion that you've given us. Oh, God.